Being tuned in means
making sure you can take us wherever you go with the Seaville 107.5 smartphone app.
Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do?
Funny you should ask, Al.
I'd say, pull me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. Pour me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
Here it comes.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere Friday morning, and you know, and I thought this over the last weekend when I saw Brecken Thies's story on Breitbart. I said, my first obvious reaction was, "Oh, thank goodness somebody else is covering on this." And it's good; it's getting national attention, but it's bringing a lot of folks to the fore around Albemarle County regarding critical race theory. We've been hearing a lot of coverage out of Loudoun County about it, and our friends at Parents Defending Education, defendinged.org. But I was interacting with Brecken yesterday evening, and we're going to hopefully have him on the show, provided the folks who are running Breitbart these days give him permission. Good to know that he's actually a Charlottesvillean and the son of one of our loyal listeners here on Joe Thomas in the Morning. So it's all good there. And then I got to talk with Nikki Athey, who's a parent in Albemarle County and very troubled, and has actually been pushing on some of the TV newsrooms to do more regarding critical race theory. And she's on the Newsmakers line with us. Nikki, how are you doing this Friday morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. And thank you for giving airtime and intelligent coverage to what's actually happening in schools. It's absolutely troubling, as you say, and I'm really glad you brought you're bringing to light these two Breitbart articles. They are very powerful, and I encourage everyone to read them. They're very detailed. I couldn't possibly cover the volume of things that we're seeing, but those do a good job of bringing to light some of the very specifics. But what I wanted to bring up to you today was so basically Breitbart brought up in their first article, they exposed the pilot program and some of the content that was put forward to the Henley Middle School, which was rooted in critical race theory.
Yep.
Now, of course, the Albemarle School Board will say, oh, no, that's not critical race theory. CRT stands for something different.
Yeah, they've renamed it.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Is.
They've rebranded it a lot of things over the last year because people have caught on to this. And to be fair, I mean, this was something that Governor Northam dangled bags of money through the Board of Education and said, who wants to do this? And Albemarle County said, oh, yeah, hey, free money, quote unquote, to do this stuff. And I'm sure politically they see the upside of it as well. But anyway, yeah, so the pilot program and some of the stuff they're doing in Henley is shocking.
It truly is. And so basically you have a group of parents whose children were exposed to that, and community members, which I'm one, and started to speak out against it. So they have, I will also encourage you to kind of look into what those arguments are. They're very respectful, very intelligent, and very methodical evaluations and suggestions. Mm-hmm. They're not being heard. And in fact, what we're seeing is the typical response by local activists who have hysterical rants on social media, but they're organizing a petition to basically counter and short-circuit the concerned parents. So we've seen, and that's what the second Breitbart article, I believe it came out yesterday, it's another excellent one. And what we're looking at is a very organized left, and they are, we have to give it to them, they are absolutely organized.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a quick reach. So they have a petition out there that's not only just showing support of this, they're saying, we want this courageous conversations, we want the anti-racist policy and the transgender policy implemented full throttle, and parents cannot opt out. That's what a petition is asking for. And this is what actually the reason I'm calling in. It was so disturbing to see that petition gained 250 signatures in a day. Now, when I started becoming aware of this, It took me, and I am actually a schooled policy expert. I worked at the Pentagon for very complex policy across the department, and as well as in acquisition. So I'm not a lightweight in reading or writing policy. And it took me a very, very long time. I've only scratched the surface in reading the actual anti-racist policy. And so for people to latch on to petitions that they really don't understand what's behind it, it's very disturbing. There's no chance someone in one day could have, you know, seen this petition and actually read through what is it actually asking for. Because on first blush, who's going to say, oh, no, I'm pro-racist. I want a pro-racist policy. Yeah, Everybody's going to say, yeah, I want an anti-racist policy. That sounds great. No, I don't want kids to be, you know, feel like they're in a bad situation because they think they're transgender.
It's the dark magic that the left does. My buddy Matt frequently says that if he wanted to euthanize every dog in the United States, he would introduce a bill called the Clean Streets and Quiet Neighborhoods Resolution. And then everyone would say, well, I'm for clean streets for sure. And all of a sudden, all the dogs are gone. That's the dark magic of the left, is they'll brand these things the opposite of what they are. I met Dr. Kendi, who is the sun source of all this. He's the sensei of critical race theory. He was in Charlottesville recording a TV segment, and I was one of the panelists on it, and the only one that called him out for being a racist. I said, you know, what you're promoting is patently racist by judging people purely by the color of their skin.
And Joe, I want to leverage exactly what you just said. And what I really want your listeners to do is to read this policy. It is that, and to their credit, they actually put it on their website. Like, there is no hiding what they're trying to do. But these are some things that I saw in the policy. And of course, it's up to anybody else to read it how they see it. But this is what the policy says. It says, I mean, I'm not quoting it. This is the implication. The color of skin of the teachers matters in education.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically saying students of color are not capable of learning unless their teacher is the same color as them, has
ridiculous,
the same skin color. It's that students of color are not capable of the same standards of behavior. That students of color require different types of discipline. That students of color and parents of color are not capable of following instructions for how to get into AP classes.
It's stunning.
I mean, this is what's in the policy.
Right.
So the other thing that I wanted to bring up about the policy is when you look at the cited sources, every single one is the foundational premise is that there is a white dominant culture and white privilege. And so everything sweeping through here. So it's not just a policy. It is a policy with implementation that changes the entire fabric of the school system and includes things like students ratting out the other students.
Yeah, and that's
it's
a big
total Nikki, Stasi stuff.
Yeah, Nikki Athey is on with us, a concerned parent of Albemarle County. Hang on one second. I've got to run to a break. Can we hold on to you through the break here?
You got it.
Like us. Follow us. Just don't touch that dial.
You don't know where that finger's been.
Charlottesville's homepage, Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
And we're visiting with one of the concerned parents of Albemarle County trying to lead the charge against critical race theory, which is really just racism. A great column we read into the public record earlier this week by our friend Horace Cooper, a barrister of such repute that he was able to stand before the Supreme Court and get them to declare the Voting Rights Act, at least core functions of it, unconstitutional. He'll be joining us a little bit later on. He compares it to it's really Jim Crow 2.0, Nikki, and I appreciate that. And you were talking about this SEAT program. And you point out how, you know, five or six kids meeting in Albemarle County, it winds up getting news coverage from both the TV stations there. And these are a bunch of kids saying, yeah, we don't want to be racist. Of course, as you said, nobody wants to be racially biased, but that's not what this policy is.
Absolutely, yeah. So the SEAT program was actually a little bit more integrated than just a group of concerned students. They actually were part of the development of this anti-racist policy. So if you, and again, this is out on the website, you can kind of look and see what was the genesis of the policy, who was involved. And frankly, it was initially led by students. Now, what do students know about developing policy and curriculum? You know, but not to disparage them, but truly, what kind of life experience are we talking about? But yeah, with that particular case, they were, I think, looking to implement, you know, anti-racist safe spaces in the public schools. I'm like, we need to get the kids back to school. I think that's about the last concern that we have. And to the point of what evidence have they provided to show that we actually have a problem here, that doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that there aren't efforts that should be done to protect people. Absolutely. But is that the foundational, fundamental thing that our schools should look at? And it brings me to another point, and that's the strategic plan and the vision. When I'm talking about this policy, I'm not talking about an isolated, people think it's just a policy. It's just a statement. That is not what this is. It is completely integrated into every fabric. I've never seen, there's no chance that this was something that was done internally with just Albemarle County resources. This was bringing in experts from outside. This is kind of like a cookie cutter template that was brought in. It's really important to kind of know this is what the old mission of the public schools was. The core purpose is to establish a community of learners and learning through relationships, relevance, and rigor one student at a time. What the draft strategic plan says, this doesn't even actually make sense, but this is what the mission of the public school is now. Working together as a team, we will end the predictive value of race, class, gender, and special capacities for our children's success through high-quality teaching and learning. We seek to build relationships with families and communities to ensure every student succeeds. There's nothing in the draft plan that talks about excellence. That's what used to be in the plan. Excellence, yeah. Young people, community, respect, lifelong learning. You know, now it's everything is about how do we weaponize our school system to combat something that is so far beyond what a school should even be looking at. You mentioned it earlier about when you were talking this morning about representation and, what's the government here to do? And what we're seeing here is the government massive overreach into family, what belongs in the family. They're trying to solve every societal ill, perceived or real, through programs like this. And another thing you touched on was money, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just another way to grab more money. And if you look at the expenditure as a taxpayer, the amount of money from our taxes that goes to schools, I think it's like 50%. It's some massive chunk, right?
Do we actually think that the
money's going to their education? Are we looking at how to create nonsense policies like this and integrate them and override parents and usurp roles that are so far beyond what a school should really be doing, which is educating? And that doesn't mean educate a child in terms of rearing a child. It doesn't mean their social, their mental state. You know, we're not running a mental ward. We don't need to have, you know, the entire person of a child formed by the education system. They need to learn how to read, how to write, how to do math.
Well,
history,
and that,
you know,
Nikki, and that in and of itself, we've been failing at that for the better part of the last two decades. So why would we think that doing something extracurricular is something that we should be good at? We should be more worried about the fact that our kids are falling further and further behind in the core educational functions. And maybe it is because we're doing social engineering in our public schools and instead of just education. What And I'm curious about this because I worry that there are parents who won't speak out because they don't want protests. They don't want, 20 or 30 people on their lawn breaking windows and flattening tires and doing all the sort of implied things that could come with this. It's why we're struggling to even get people to run for school board to perhaps tell Dr. Haas not just no, but hell no on this.
No, you're absolutely right. And you're taking that risk. But at some point, you just have to stand up for what's right. You have to raise your voice. So what our group is doing, it's just a random collection. Everybody doesn't have the exact same opinion. It's really interesting on how this group of concerned citizens is approaching the response. Mm. We're not typical activists, right? Activists have single talking points. And if you look at any of the petitioners, if you look at the people who kind of rounded the troops up after they realized we were going to be speaking to the school board, same exact, really emotional-based arguments. This group, so what we're trying to do is organize our community, get the word out. We'll probably be putting together at least a blog, something where we can at least highlight the mm-hmm. the top things. Go look at this. Maybe consider running for school board. Yep. As you said, so running for school board, I even thought about it because it's up in my district. But I looked at it and I said, going in right now, we have a governor, the entire Virginia Assembly. They're setting policy. It'd be very difficult to have a meaningful voice on the school board. That doesn't mean that it's not valuable, but it means that there's a lot of silencing happening within the school system. In fact, another thing I brought up to the school board is their policy silences the First Amendment rights of all staff members. They are not allowed in their own social media by their policy. They are not allowed to speak out. Mm-hmm. In that anything that's considered air quote hate speech or air quote antithetical to the Albemarle County Public School values.
Right. Nikki,
what the heck is that?
And it's undefined as the crimes that somebody is standing accused of. And you mentioned guilty until proven innocent. We have to run to the news. Thank you so much. Where can people find out more about your group?
I'm going to have to let you know we're still organizing.
Okay,
all
right.
Sorry, well, I don't have a link to
share.
Hey,
you know what? Parents getting upset, and they should be. And, woe be those on the school board that do this. But thank you, Nikki, for organizing them. And if you reach out to me, I'll get you in touch with her, okay? How's that for
Thanks.
Now?
Sounds great. Thanks.
Being tuned in means
Joe Thomas now. Sean Hannity at 3.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Well, we can't salute ya. Can't find a flag. If that don't suit ya, that's a drag. Sue's out for summer.
Emails and the phone lines are ringing. Greg, 434-964-1075. Heard us chatting with a parent who's trying to organize parents in Albemarle County against the inclusion of critical race theory that they've been trying to do since the governor started throwing around bags of money in the populist attempt to get Dr. Kendi's racist educational doctrine into the schools. I appreciate you hanging on the line through the news. You have the floor.
Good morning, Joe. It's great to hear from you. And as you know, I'm a teacher, but yet I'm also a unicorn because I'm a conservative teacher.
Well, bless you for that. I feel like a unicorn sometimes too, but for different reasons. What is your thought about what, and I don't want to get you in trouble, so I don't want to say
You're fine, because here's the deal. My son was at the dinner table last night talking to my wife and I, and he told us that he actually got sent to the principal's office this year, which I find amazing, because as a teacher, if a kid gets in trouble, you usually contact a parent, you tell them what the reason is and what has happened.
Yeah, sure.
So I talked to him and I said, son, what happened? And my wife and I are really thinking that he's trying to fabricate a unique tale to end the school year. But no. He goes, well, Dad, here's the truth. He said, a girl said in class that she liked Joe Biden. And I said, really? And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, Dad, I told her, I said, why do you like Joe Biden? He is a terrible president. Which, the kid is 7, so he doesn't really have a great grasp of politics. But he's heard my wife and I talk in the house.
Right.
And so he was sent to the principal for saying that Joe Biden is terrible. Now, here's the ironic part. I had no email from a teacher. I had no documentation from the principal. And I had no note home of any sort. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm listening to you talk about the lies with Fauci and how the left distorts, which we all know that is a fact. And even with critical race theory with our last guest on the show, here was the thing I was really trying to put down. And you probably know where I'm going to go with this. Why would someone not tell you that your child was in trouble?
Mm.
Oh, I know. I know the answer.
Okay.
Because they're trying to silence the child without telling the parent because he did nothing wrong.
Right.
He didn't bully a kid. He didn't insult anyone. He didn't belittle them. He stated his opinion, and because his opinion did not fit the current mindset of my colleagues who have been brainwashed by the socialist left, he was sent to the principal's office to be silenced. Not punished, but silenced before he understood that he has had his First Amendment right taken away.
Well, here's a postscript on that. We have documentation of students in the Albemarle County schools, not to pile on, but okay, let's pile on, in Albemarle County high schools being sent home, being suspended, being sent to the dean for wearing Trump hats, for wearing Make America Great Again t-shirts, being told their entire dress policy is driven around symbolism that could cause someone else distress. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty close to what the Albemarle County Schools dress code is, that you will be in trouble and sent home and not allowed to attend class if you wear any imagery that could cause someone else distress. And so kids have been in trouble for wearing MAGA hats.
And Joe, what's amazing is my kid does not go to Albemarle County Schools. When we looked at buying a house years ago, we decided we were not going into Albemarle just because of some of the issues. We live and our kids go to school in a conservative county. And that's what I thought was kind of ironic about it is, you know, again, if you are not free to say something that is not even remotely close to what you would consider to be hate speech or something that's bullying, but then you silence a child and you don't tell the parent, that's just unconscionable.
Well, and that's actually criminal to my mind. You know, a teacher that does something like that, suppose they invoke some sort of corporal punishment.
The parents are sometimes, and I see this in my own career, we are completely not let in on what our kids are being said other than, like, here's a report card, here's what we can see in the online classroom, but what is being said to a kid? And my son had no idea. He was like, yeah, well, I probably shouldn't have. Like, I said, no, son, you didn't say anything bad. You didn't say wrong. You can say that anytime you want.
This is a little bit of what we've talked about, and it's a controversial issue because I get it, and I don't know about the county you live in, but city of Charlottesville spends upwards of $13,000 per year on each student if you break its budget down. And that, sure, some of that includes physical plant costs and things like that. But if you do the math, and even a 20-kid classroom, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in educational expenditures in a classroom. Teachers getting paid $42,000 to start, $45,000, depending on the municipality. So I don't know where that money is disappearing to, but it's going into somebody's pocket. And this is why we need to, the public schools have become such a monopoly. We need to challenge that monopoly with real, robust money follows the student school choice, even if it's not dollar for dollar, even if it's 75 cents on the dollar, and you're able to take $8,000 or $9,000, that's way more than a private school would charge you. Never mind that some of them are bad, too. We have the story of what happened in New York with that private school and their sex ed class for their first graders. But at least then the parent has some buy-in to it. And the schools then have to struggle to keep up with what the parents want. The parents become the consumers of the education again.
Exactly. And even as a parent and a teacher, I'm all about school choice. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, not everybody in my wonderful world of intellect would agree with me on that, but it is. And parents should have that ability. I mean, we have the right to everything else. Why not to education as well?
Yeah.
Well, John, thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate
it. Enjoy the show. You do a great service for everyone in our area. We appreciate you.
And I'll tell you something, Greg, and I appreciate it. 434-964-1075, running up on a break here. But, you know, as a parent, you know everything that happens at home. I remember my son Taylor was in, I guess it was middle school. It was, we hadn't lived here more than 3 months, and he got a test in his, I guess it was his sociology. No, it wouldn't have been sociology in middle school. I guess it was civics class, and they did a social studies test to see what, quote, political party you belonged in. And you had to answer a series of questions, and he was one of two kids, believe it or not, that came up Republican. And it was because he thought that you had a right to own guns. And at this time, neither my wife nor I owned guns, but he believed in the constitutional right. And Charlottesville schools, in front of the whole class, said, well, you're one. And they made them stand out on the side of the classroom. These are the only two that came up Republican. I mean, first off, it offends me that you would even insert political party affiliation as something to do an educational cohort on. But this is the kind of stuff that has nothing to do with, can you do math? Can you figure out the diameter of a circle? Can you figure out, why something is easier to lift if you have a fulcrum? I mean, these are the things we're failing at. We're not even bothering with this. I don't know why we're trying to do fancy stuff. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas. Who's this?
Hello, this is Jane Clowater, and I am a retired teacher from Fluvanna County.
God bless you. Hey, Jane, I have a couple of supporters I have to play their commercials for. Can I hang on to you during that and then come right to you?
Sure thing.
No Russian disinformation.
Мы обещаем.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Joe Thomas in the morning.
Teaching the golden rule.
And we wish, right? All right, kids, quick, can you tell me what the golden rule is? Jane was on hanging on right before we had to go to break. Is this Jane as in Jesse's mom?
It sure is. He's still in bed. He's probably talking to his girlfriend on the phone.
All right. Well, tell him I said hey. So you're a teacher, okay? So where are we failing, and why should we not be worrying about all this fanciful social engineering in the classroom?
Well, the kids are actually in 31 years, I remember isolated incidents of, racial conflict and everything. But for the most part, they've not been taught that by their parents, and they don't bring that to school with them. We need to stop forcing adult lunacy that's been incubated in the universities on kids that are rather innocent of it all.
Right. And a young kid, when you say you shouldn't be, racist, well, of course they're going to say, what is racist? I mean, it's what kids do. Any age from 3 on up, once they start to grasp the language, they're going to start asking why or what is that? And they have to be, taught at home, that golden rule, right?
Sure. And that's... that's really the best thing is to model anti-racism to the kids. Treat everybody with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, since you mentioned that, this was sort of what I intended to say, but the anti-racism of Jesus Christ doesn't require you to indoctrinate them with squat. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive people who do you wrong.
Yep.
That covers all the bases, and you don't have to even thump the Bible in front of a public school class to teach them that.
Well, and if you think about it, I think we try to create mysticism where none is because we feel like maybe we're comforted by the idea that the world is more complex than it actually is. But Matt Kibbe, founder of FreedomWorks, wrote a great book, and I love the title and the theme of it, Don't Hurt People and Don't Take Their Stuff. It's sort of what Bill, Bill Bennett wrote years ago, my predecessor in this time slot, when he wrote, you know, everything I ever needed to know I learned by fifth grade, first grade, is because, you know, that's where the toolkit is laid in.
Sure thing. Sure thing. And it's abusive. I believe it's abusive, emotional, psychological abuse, to infect kids with some, you know, complicated hyper-racial consciousness. And when they ask you what racism is, like you just mentioned, what are you going to do? Tell them all about equity and start quoting Ibram X. Kendi? Book I read.
Well, and it goes back to the saw that says, okay, kids, we're going to take a test. Okay, all the kids that got A's, that's not fair to the kids that got D's. So what we're going to do is take all the points from the kids that got A's and give them to the kids that got D's. Kids learn pretty quickly that that's a rum deal. They're not.
Yeah.
but beyond that, just telling a kid, I mean, think about this in an abstract, Jane and anyone. If you tell a kid that they're bad or incapable or inappropriate simply based on the color of their skin, that's horrific. And it's what we were doing 100 years ago, and it's what this critical race theory says now. And I don't want any kid, regardless of their skin color, to be told that they can't do something simply because of the color of their skin.
Absolutely. Hey, kid, the deck is stacked against you.
Right. You know,
you are oppressed, and you over there, you're descended from the oppressors, and you bear that burden.
Absolutely.
Awful.
Yeah, and the kid hasn't done anything wrong. It's like I've said before, and I know it's overly simplified, but I'm a DJ. What do you expect from me? But if you go into a nursery in you know, Martha Jefferson or UVA Hospital, you go to the nursery and look in the window. There are no evil kids in there. There are no racist kids in there. There are no bullies in there. That's something they learn, and we have to understand. You know, we have lots of rights in our country. We love to talk about them, but what are our responsibilities? And what are you modeling your kids at home? Like I said, I had never had a Second Amendment conversation with my son Taylor, but I probably shouldn't mention his name. He does work in the area, but when they gave him this test, he came home. He said, "Hey, Dad, I took a test in school today, and guess what? It says I should be a Republican." I said, "What the heck kind of test is that?" And he actually thought I'd be proud. I said, "I don't want you taking tests about political affiliations." And he said, "Well, the only thing that I put down that made me a Republican was I believe the government shouldn't infringe your right to own a gun." And we didn't own guns. We never talked about guns. We never talked about firearms. But he had just gotten it from implication that freedom was what we stood for. And yet here are the schools that are, you know, singling out kids. Or, "Oh, those are the dirty Republicans there. And so look, you know, you don't have lunch with them." It's crazy stuff, Jane.
It's awful.
And here we go plummeting down the list of educational achievements globally. You know, we're falling behind in math. We're in the, you know, second tier in science. You know, we're falling behind. And now we're saying we're not going to do AP courses. We're not going to give achievement awards at the end of the year because we want to keep it fair. Well, then what you're saying is the outcome doesn't matter. Show us your work, whether you get it right or not, and we'll be happy with being a second-class economy? Is that what we want, a second-rate?
Yeah, I mean, what are the schools for if they aren't to teach those subjects? What's the rationale?
Yep. Well, thank you. Best to Jesse and you, Jane, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
"Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?"
"Really?
Oh, while we're young."
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.